एवं सप्तस्वगुरुना सत्यान्नाचलितोमहामनाय दत्तादेना हर्षिद्बोधकपूर्वकम्। Goswami continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadeva and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. Vindhyavalis tadakatya patni chadakamalani aninye kalasham saimam avaneya charyapatitam. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water, with which to worship the Lord. Yajamana svayam tasya srimat padayugam mudha avanijya vahan murni tat apo vishvabhavani. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. Tadasarendram divadeva kalkuna gandharva vidyadhara siddha charana tankharma sade vigrananta arjavam mudandita. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, and the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Arjavam, simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Brahman and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahman. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinshana sarvaya gunaisthat tasamasate suraha. A Vaishnava should possess the Brahminic qualities such as satya, shama, dhamma, tatiksha, and arjava. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by all the residents of the higher planetary system.
Srila Prabhupada is so beautifully extracting from these verses the essence of the glories of Sri Bali Maharaj. We have read in the previous slokas of this particular chapter how Lord Vamanadeva, by the prayers of Aditi, had appeared in this world in the beautiful form of a little dwarf. He went to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, who is the son of Virochan and the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And that naturally makes him the great-grandson of Hiranyakashipu. a very variegated family dynasty.
Bali Maharaj had already conquered the entire universe. The demigods headed by Indra were literally hiding in fear of him. They could not even stand before him. He was so effulgent with supernatural power. Vamanadeva came as a little beggar dwarf, Brahman, and begged for 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj preached to him, "Why only 3 steps? I can give you an entire planet. I can give you great wealth, anything. I am the master and the king of the universe." Vamanadeva explained, "If one is not satisfied within oneself, one can never be satisfied, however much one may accumulate in this world. All I require is my 3 steps. So Bali Maharaj promised he would give him 3 steps. At that time, Shukracharya, the spiritual master of Bali, became very fearful because he was very much attached, Srila Prabhupada explains, to the benefits of having a disciple who is the king of the universe. You can get lots of dakshin with such a disciple, according to any need at any time it will be fulfilled. So Sukracharya told him, "Do not give this money, do not give this land, because he is Vishnu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's been sent by the demigods to cheat you. If you give him 3 steps, he will expand himself and take everything you own, and you'll have nothing. If you have nothing, I'll have nothing." He didn't say that, but obviously that was his thinking. Bali Maharaj, he was so simple, unduplicitous, as it is described in this verse, that he told Sukracharya, "I have given my word, and if he is Vishnu, then I must follow in the footsteps of my grandfather and please him. I do not fear poverty. I do not feel torture, pain, or even death. But I very much fear being untruthful or offensive to a Brahmin." That is sacred lesson. This is Vaishnava consciousness. I remember one of my god sisters, her name was Ladini. She was in Africa preaching. It was at a time when there was terrible conflict in the government. There was a revolution. The military attacked the government, and the military was comprised of so many dacoits. People were just being killed by the hundreds in the streets every single day. There was no consideration of life. She wrote me a letter. In this situation. And she said, she explained the situation first, how so much treachery, so much torture, so much murder everywhere. And she couldn't get out of the country properly. She said, "I do not fear that I may be tortured. I do not even fear if I am killed. But I am terribly fearful that I may offend a Vaishnava, because that will kill my spiritual life." A few days later, she was killed. Glorious way. They said, "We will shoot the men, but we will not shoot the women." They went into the temple in the middle of the night.
and they started killing one man after another of the devotees. And she was a woman, but she ran up to the leader, the person who was going to be the next president who was killing. She said, "You cannot kill devotees. You cannot do this to devotees." He had about 10 people with machine guns around him. But when she saw that he was shooting devotees, she ran up to him and she grabbed the gun from his hand, not to take it out, but just to hold it. And she said, "Don't kill me, but don't kill the devotees." So he killed her. She would rather die than stand idly while devotees were being killed. She lived by her word. "I do not fear death, but I terribly feel offending Vaishnavas." If we all had that consciousness, this Hare Krishna movement would be Vaikuntha. So Bali Maharaj, he explained like this: "I have great fear of being untruthful or offensive to a Brahmin. The earth can bear any type of burden, but it cannot bear one who is untruthful. I must give this charity." Sukracharya was so angry, he cursed him. You are thinking that you are such a great scholar? You are preaching to me? I am your guru. I curse you and lose all your opulence." After saying this, Bali Maharaj, he sipped water, he washed Lord Vamana's feet, he put the water on his head. His wife, Vindhyavali — usually wives are very much wanting the husband to bring home lots of money in this material world — Vindhyavali understood her husband was about to lose everything, Guru had just said. And she came with a golden water pot to wash the feet of Vamanadeva, who was going to take everything away from them. When this happened, the demigods were showering flowers. And Srila Prabhupada explains why. Because of the simplicity of Bali Maharaj's character. He had no duplicity. And this is one of the most essential qualities of a Vaishnava. It is the quality that attracts Krishna. Duplicity generally comes about within one's consciousness when one is egoistically attached to a particular position or a particular situation to enjoy or control. Sometimes we call it politics. What is a politician? In the grossest form of the word, a politician is a person who is in office, who is in some ruling power position. And there are two types of politicians. One who is in power, who'll do anything to stay in power. And the other is one who is not in power, who will do anything to get in power. So, these days in Kali Yuga, when somebody is running for office, they make so many promises. But who believes any of them? It is quite obvious they are saying anything they have to say to get position, power, and prestige, and all the benefits that come along with it. So therefore there is so much duplicity, because there is ulterior motive. The motive is not purely and exclusively to serve the people, it is to serve one's own interests. To the degree you have a desire to serve your own selfish interests, you will be forced by material nature to be duplicitous. To the degree we are actually selfless, humble, then naturally there will be no duplicity in our behavior. We find so many examples of simplicity here in Vrindavan. At Yajnastali, the Brahmins were performing nice yajna. And they were very proud of being good Brahmins. They knew so many mantras. They knew the rituals so proficiently. They knew the tantras and the mudras. Krishna asked his simple gopas, the cowherd boys, tell them that Krishna Balaram is hungry. They have lots of food at the time of the sacrifice. Ask them to give to us. The residents of Vrindavan were so simple. So the cowherd boys went to the Brahmins, Krishna Balaram want food. Krishna knows that these Brahmins were very much attached to external designations. He even told them, ask for the food in name of Balaram, because he's a Kshatriya. Everyone knows he's the son of Vasudeva and Rohini. If you say my name, I'm only Vaishya, Nanda Nandana. They may not give. So the Brahmins, they were so much immersed in their own selfish interests of performing this yajna, they ignored Krishna and his instruction. But when those boys went to the wives of the Brahmins, they were simple. They had no duplicity. They were not attached to a position, control, power, recognition, or prestige. They simply wanted to serve Krishna. Therefore, even at great risk, they were risking as much as Bali Maharaj, qualitatively. When they were leaving the house with the best of the foods that were meant for that yajna, they were going to be rejected from their homes, they were going to be seen as unchaste, they were going to lose everything, but they didn't care. Because what is the highest truth? To please Krishna. Without concern for my position, without my concern for fringe benefits, without concern even for my own life. That is simplicity. And they came before Krishna to give him their lives. Not just some pots of food. They came to surrender their lives to Krishna. And even though the husbands saw that their wives achieved the ultimate perfection of life by surrendering everything to Krishna, they could have gone and surrendered. But they would not, because they were afraid. What will Kamsa think? What will he do to us? What he may do to our position? Attachment. The gopis, when Krishna stood under Bamsivat and Sarat Purnima and played the fifth note of his flute, the gopis left everything. Their children, their husbands, the cows, all their responsibilities in the dead of night. Dangers in the forest. Rejection of their family. Becoming homeless. Losing all their prestige as chaste women. They didn't care for their position. They didn't care for anything except truth. What is truth? Sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami maso. Dharma is truth. The greatest dharma is to surrender to Krishna, the absolute truth. So this is simplicity, no duplicity, no attachment to a position, no attachment to facilities, no attachment to what people think of me, but attachment to doing what is right. And what is right? To be honest before God, that is right. Let us examine the difference between Sukracharya, with all respects to his lotus feet, and Bali Maharaj. Sukracharya, he was the guru, so-called, with all respect. How Krishna uses these great souls in these pastimes is a great, wonderful thing.
Shukracharya, he had such intelligence by the grace of God that he knew that this was Vishnu. Vamana was a little dwarf, but Shukracharya had such wisdom of the Shastra and such intuition that he knew this is Vishnu. He will expand himself. He will take everything with two steps. He will imprison you. He knew everything. But still, because he was attached to his dakshin, because he was attached to the position that I am the guru of the king, he told him, do not surrender to Vishnu. Break your word. This is duplicity. Shukracharya was duplicitous because he was attached to his position and the benefits that came with his position. If you are attached to your position, if we are attached to the benefits that come to our position, we have to be duplicitous. Material nature will force us to be duplicitous. If we are attached to service, Bali Maharaj understood what his real position is. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. Gauranga Mahaprabhu has prayed, I have no position except this. Lord Chaitanya was a Brahmin and a sannyasi, highest positions, both socially and spiritual within society. But he said, I am not a Brahmin, not a Kshatriya, not a Vaishya, not a Shudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas. These are temporary designations. We should not be attached to any of them. What am I? Who am I? I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the Lord of Gopis, who have surrendered everything to him. Lord Chaitanya taught us that this is our real position, nothing else. Whatever we may be externally, internally, we should not think ourselves to be that. This is Srimad Bhagavatam's constant theme. Maharaj Rahugana was king, Jad Bharat was carrying him on the palanquin. When Rahugana Maharaj chastised Jad Bharat, why you are disobeying king? Jad Bharat said, what is this king? Next life, I may be king. You may be my servant. Jad Bharat had good experience because he was a king in his previous life, two times back. So he knew what mentality kings have. So he had this wisdom and realization that these external designations are always changing. Just think in your own life, when you were a little girl or a little boy, what did you think you would be when you grew up? Look at us now. In my own life, I never even heard of Krishna. I didn't know anything. What is a sannyasi? I won't even say what I thought I would be when I grew up. I thought I would be just jumping around somewhere. So who knows what tomorrow will bring? The world is full of changes. What the environment will create in the next few years. We do not know where we will be, if we will be, in this particular body. Why should we be attached to any of the designations? Sarvapariyamena muktam tattvadatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchyate. Krishna consciousness is to purify ourselves of all temporary designations and realize we are the eternal servants of Krishna. We are meant to please Krishna. That is the only reality of our life. That is the nature of the soul. And if we have to give up everything of this world, we don't mind if it pleases Krishna. But to protect protect our position, our prestige, our facilities, or the enjoyment we're getting from that. If we offend Vaishnavas, we are destroying our very relationship with Krishna. There's nothing that displeases Krishna more than offense to a Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in regard to Mukunda Dutt. Of course, he was speaking using his men as an example. The Lord likes to use his best devotees to teach the world. He said, if you go before the deity, or you go before a Brahman, and first you touch his feet and worship it with great reverence, then you take a stick and smash him on the head again and again and again, will that please the Brahman? Will that please the deity? Similarly, when you worship the Lord by chanting his name, when you worship the Lord by worshiping his deity, but then you offend his devotee, you are touching his feet and then beating him head on the stick of your aparads. Will that please Krishna? For what? For some temporary little facility of this world? For some useless recognition? We see, whoever's recognized is not recognized. Generally, to the degree you're praised, you're blamed. We see it all around us. Why should we be attached to either one? We should just be attached to pleasing Krishna, to avoiding displeasing Krishna. We should not throw out the most valuable, precious diamond that Srila Prabhupada has given us of the consciousness of being the servant of the Lord. We should not exchange it for the cheap broken glass of this world in the form of facilities, recognition, position, respect, or anything else, because that broken glass will only cut you to pieces and cause blood. That's all. Bali Maharaj and Sukracharya. Bali Maharaj had a lot more to lose than Sukracharya, but he was willing to risk everything to be honest and a genuine, truthful person before Krishna. And Sukracharya was willing to instruct his own disciple to be a liar and a cheater because he was attached to being the guru of the king and getting the benefits of that. So with all respects to Sriman Shukracharya, he is teaching us a good lesson. Even though he had all knowledge, this is an amazing story. Shukracharya knew this is Vishnu. He knew what he would do. He knew everything. But because of his attachments, he couldn't act properly. This is the great, great danger of having attachments. Even if you have so much knowledge of the Shastra, even if you can speak so wonderfully, if you have these attachments, you cannot behave properly. Your activities will contradict the very knowledge that you believe and you will speak. Therefore, we must cultivate this type of simplicity and detachment. What do we care for anything except to please Srila Prabhupada by being the servant of the servant of his servants? What else is there in life? Bali Maharaj knew he would lose everything, but he was willing. Jubilantly, it is explained in these verses. He jubilantly washed the feet of that person who was going to take everything he worked so hard to achieve in life. Understand the nature of this story. It's not that Bali Maharaj just inherited the universe. He worked so hard. He performed so much tapasya. He fought so many battles, and sometimes he lost, and then he would come back and fight again and win, come back and fight again and lose. He died He was killed again and lose. He died. He was killed, but Sukracharya brought him back to life. He performed so much tapasya, so much yajna, just so he could conquer the universe. After a lifetime, his mission was finally fulfilled. This little Brahmin one day came and said, give me 3 steps. And he knew with these 3 steps, he would lose everything that he worked his whole life to achieve. But for the sake of truth, for the sake of simplicity, he jubilantly washed the same feet that were going to walk 2 steps and take everything away. Bali Maharaj's Mahajan, Srila Prabhupada taught us, Mahajan yena kathasa pandha. If you want to actually be Krishna conscious, there's only one way, and that is to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans. There's no other way. This is a great lesson we are learning today. Srila Prabhupada is explaining so succinctly and strongly in this purport, a Vaishnava has no duplicity. It's not a cheap thing to call ourselves a Vaishnava. We should every day reevaluate our consciousness, our words, and our activities. Srila Prabhupada says, there cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. Duplicity may be there in our heart, due to our previous conditionings. That is quite natural. But the character of a person is the behavior of a person. What that person speaks, what that person does in his or her activities. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, we must control the lower self with the higher self. We must be fixed in the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given us. And we must live by these principles. The most beautiful attribute is simplicity. Srila Prabhupada described in so many ways how to be simple. One time Srila Prabhupada said, we don't need anything. We have the association of devotees, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the chanting of Hare Krishna, and Krishna will give us a little prasad. What else do we need? We have everything. We should be content to understand the value of what is really precious in life. The association and the service of Vaishnavas. The holy scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Little prasad and wonderful kirtan of the holy name. Hare Krishna! 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 Things, then let Providence do whatever it wants with our life. We're happy. We're happy being truthful. We're happy being genuine in our attachment to pleasing Krishna and his devotees. That is simplicity. But to displease Krishna for something of this world which is so temporary, flickering, that is the greatest foolishness. Srila Prabhupada tells a story about simplicity. What is a Brahmin by qualification? That a young boy approached, I believe it was Gautam Muni, for initiation. Gautam Muni, he said, are you a Brahmin?
I only initiate Brahmins.
The boy said,
I do not know.
He said, well, go ask your mother who your father is. So he went back to his home and he asked his mother, who is my father? Mother said, I do not know.
I'm a prostitute. Could be one of so many. I do not know who my father is,
your father is. So this boy ran back to Gautama Muni and said, I do not know who my father is because my mother is prostitute.
Gautama Muni said, you are Brahman. I will give you initiation.
Because what is Brahman? Not birth, quality. He was simple. He was not trying to hide anything. He was honest. That is a preliminary requisite for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we try to jump over the basics to go to the highest principles in the name of being transcendental. We skip over KG and first standard, second standard to the PhD level. Prabhupada gave us everything. But they must be cultivated simultaneously. Unless we're simple and honest and self-controlled and respectful to others, then we will get no realization of rasa tattva. We can talk about it for millions of lifetimes, but there will be no realizations until we basically come to the standard of the mode of goodness. So it is very, very, very essential that we deeply strive to develop these qualities amongst our, within our own hearts, because they will please Krishna. So this little boy was initiated by Gautama Muni because of his simplicity. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he has given us such a wonderful, wonderful culture and life. But he warned us in his own Guru Maharaj's mission. There was so much division, conflict, which so much displeased the Guru, because people wanted facilities more than they wanted service. They wanted a room, they wanted a title, they wanted a position. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam yasya prasadam agati kuto. You displease Guru Maharaj, you displease Krishna. There's no other way. So what? For some cheap adoration, for some cheap facility, for some cheap little room, for a few people to come and say, accept my obeisances, willing to throw out the sacred principle that will make us dear to Guru and Krishna. This verse is so wonderful and this purport is so illuminating. What is a Vaishnava? We must restrain this propensity for attachment to our egoistic motives. This is the hardest thing to do. The essence of simplicity is Trinarapi Suniche Natarorapi Sahishna Amamanina Manadena Kiratanya Sarah. To the degree we are living by that, to that degree we are actually Vaishnava. To the degree we are not living by that, it doesn't matter what else we're getting, what else people think of us. We are not actually Vaishnava. Bali Maharaj gave away the universe, to be honest, before Krishna. We have made our vows and initiation. Prabhupada said, what gentleman will break his word? We should be honest. We should be sincere.
And we should be willing to forsake anything and everything to preserve the integrity of our position as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. This is a great lesson we can learn from Bali Maharaj. And also a great lesson we can learn from Shukracharya. He has taught us exactly what we should not do. But in our hearts, Shukracharya and Bali Maharaj are both living. Sometimes they're fighting like anything. On one hand, we want to protect. We look around. What do I have? How can I lose it? What do I want? What do I have? Anything, but I have to achieve it. And on the other hand, we have what is our real propensity for Krishna consciousness. Be simple. Be honest. Be happy chanting Hare Krishna. Let Krishna do what he wants, but let us be happy being honest devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any questions?
So, in one sense, as you say, we have to understand that Srinath Pisudishna to our Pisudishna, Mahanamanayana, Kidnani, Sadhavi is the active principle of our culture. And again, on the other side, if you see that somebody is so basically attached to it, that he is causing great harm to our mission, then is it not our duty to speak up, to stop? For example, Bhishma, when Draupadi was distraught, he didn't speak up. He lost his good fortune. So in the same way, don't we lose our good fortune if you don't speak up? If you see somebody is misbehaving and causing harm to this woman?
I don't claim to know the answer, but I will. Whatever little I understand. We have to be very careful in the examination of our own motives and techniques. On one hand, the false ego is sometimes very clever. You justify anything in any way to ultimately fulfill its own motives. So we really have to examine, what is our motive? Something they have done to us in the past, but we want to push them down. If we have these motives, then we may be performing Vaishnava Purana. So we should very carefully judge our own motives. And also, even if our motives are very good, that we genuinely and honestly do, and our actions are based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, that we actually do feel that we need to do this, then we have to do it in the right way so that we get the right result. Sometimes we have good intentions, but the way we do things causes the efforts to make a solution creates a bigger problem than the problem. So, yes, what you're saying is very true. We must protect Vaishnavas. We must protect the principles of the sacred teachings of Srila Prabhupada. But we must do it in the proper way, with the proper motives. Then certainly Srila Prabhupada will empower us. I hope that answers. Sri Krishna.
What we have seen for a long period of time, the people didn't speak up. Maybe because of this reason, I don't want to commit Vajrakavara, whatever the good motivation may be. And one case after another, great harm has been done because people don't speak up for their good or bad reason.
Again, if there's a great need and it's done in the mood of genuine service, we should speak up. But I honestly believe that these two factors must be very carefully considered. What is our own motivation? And if what we're doing and how we're doing it is actually going to bring real benefit. But these days there's many people speaking up. There's no lack of people speaking up. Krishna with so many material desires, with desire for liberation, with no material desires. But because we are under the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, and we are receiving their instructions, which is based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Prabhujita Kaita Patra Paramadirmatsaranam Saha. We are gradually being taught how to worship Krishna in such a way to give up the desire for material enjoyment and liberation. Nadananda jananda sundarim kavitam bhaja gadisha kamaye mama jamani jamani shri bhagata bhakti rahe. So the Prabhupada, if we really try to understand his teachings, which he is presenting on behalf of all the illustrious acharyas, gradually we become transformed by chanting Hare Krishna and performing service under the care of a pure Vaishnava. If we are sincere, we have every opportunity to become purified of all of these material desires. So yes, we may have the desire for material enjoyment, gross and subtle. We may have the desire for liberation, which is another selfish, egoistic conception. However, by reading the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purports, we understand that these things must be eliminated. And in order to eliminate them, we must tolerate them and engage in positive
Krishna-conscious devotional service. And if we live according to these divine instructions, very quickly we can be purified. But if we hold on to these attachments, then we cause so many disturbances. If we think ourselves the servant of the servant of the servant, we can only create the most auspicious environment. And if we still want to be the Lord, if we still want to be a controller, if we still want to be an enjoyer, to that degree we will cause so many disturbances within the society of devotees. So we must check these tendencies on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's words. And we have to strive to purify ourselves. There's no substitute. This movement will be empowered by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy to the degree we strive to genuinely purify ourselves by living by his teachings. I believe it was in 1972, Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, he asked his leaders, "Do you have complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God?" He said, if the few people we have in this movement had that purity, we could take over the whole world in 18 days. Srila Prabhupada has that power. He wants to work through us. But we have to strive for purity. We have to put aside our egoistic tendencies. What is purity? Purity means no ego. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm not the controller. I'm not the Lord. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Guru Angad. Any other question anyone would like to ask?
Can I ask another question, please? Somebody may speak up because he has a motive. Somebody may be also quiet because he has a motive. So, which of the two things is better?
It depends on the person.
Depends on what the motive is.
Depends on.
What is the motive is to preserve the purity of this movement?
But I think
is there one motive?
Yes. We should all be striving to work together to create purity. Begin within our own hearts. That's all I can say for you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.